Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Proverbs 11:2. Psalm 119, verse 24, thy testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. Psalm 119, 24. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20, listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. Proverbs 19, 20. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verses 4, 8, 9, and 17. Daniel chapter 1, verses 4, 8, 9, and 17. We're privileged indeed to move into a new book, the book of Daniel. There are tremendous information in this book, challenges for all of us. I trust that you will listen attentively and carefully this morning as we deal with Daniel, a model of righteousness. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity which is ours now to turn our attention away from all of the various aspects of this life, the distractions of this life, and turn our attention to these eternal truths. You've given us this magnificent book, the inspired Word of God. We're privileged individuals today, again, realizing that we have opportunity to receive spiritual fuel for our souls, that we may grow in grace and knowledge of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You've left us here on this earth. We're here because you have a plan and a purpose for our existence. And so help each one of us here today and everyone who hears this voice to understand that since we're still alive, you have a plan and a purpose for us. Help us to be able to realize the importance of having vertical viewpoint, not horizontal, not human viewpoint, but vertical, divine viewpoint. And we're fully aware of the fact that the only way that's possible is for us to think God's thoughts and for us to be able to be saturated with the thinking of our Savior Jesus Christ. We pray that you will guide us in these moments of study today, that we'll have the ability not only to receive, but the ability to make application of those things which we learn. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Daniel chapter 1, we have on the screen verse 4, verse 8, verse 9, and verse 17. I trust you have your Bible open to Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. He brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Verse 3, then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles. Verse 4, our first verse, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. You can see that verse 4 is a very heavy verse. Please just realize we'll be coming back to that. And the king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years. That's 3 years of seminary. At the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them. And to Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. One of my colored preachers says, to bed we go. Verse 8, another one of our important verses. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Verse 9. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. Verse 17. And as for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Number one, the life of the prophet Daniel is recorded in the book that shares his name. We just began to read verses from the first chapter of the book of Daniel. The life of the prophet Daniel is recorded in the book that shares his name. Daniel means God is my judge. Number two, there's not much know about the early, there's not much for us to know about the early days of his life, but he appears to have been of the upper class, perhaps even from a royal family. It is recorded that he was taken to Babylon as a teenager in 605 B.C. Number three, he began service to the royal court and abstained from unclean food. We just read some of those verses, Daniel 1:8. Number four, in the verses that we have on the screen for you, Daniel 1:8 through 16, we see in these verses that Daniel, standing true to God and to the Word of God, was keeping a clean heart and a clean body. And the man, therefore, whom God chose as a channel for his message to the Gentiles, nations of the world. Perhaps you noticed that I read slowly today Daniel 1:8. We discover here that Daniel made a decision to stand true to God and to the Word of God and to have a clean heart and a clean body and to be the man, therefore, whom God chose as a channel for his message to the Gentile nations of the world. I do not desire to go so rapidly that you don't have time to think through some of the things that are being presented to us. Number five, about 608 B.C., 3 years later, Daniel was brought before the king to interpret the king's dream. The king was pleased and made Daniel ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. And this is presented to us in Daniel chapter 2, verse 48. Number six, in chapter 4, we learn that Daniel interpreted another of Nebuchadnezzar's dreams. Daniel was called the prophet of dreams. His task was to share in the actual government of Babylon. In making a search through these wonderful verses, I discovered number seven, that in Nelson's Bible Dictionary, the comment was made, Daniel remained in governmental service through the reigns of the kings of Babylon and into the reign of Cyrus of Persia after the Persians became dominant world power. This is presented to us in chapter 1, verse 21, chapter 10, verse 1. Number 8. Daniel was also a person of deep piety. His book is characterized not only by the prophecies of the distant future, but also by a sense of wonder at the presence of God. I pause for a moment to remind you that as we take our look into the life of Daniel, we'll be able to see some things, if we so desire, about ourselves. If you'll notice, I just mentioned to you that Daniel had a sense of wonder at the presence of God. And you and I must be aware of the fact that we too have the responsibility of appreciating God and taking a look into the Scriptures to find ourselves properly related and wonder this magnificent God we have. Number 9. From his youth, Daniel was determined to live by God's law in a distant land. It's important for us to see some things about Daniel. As a young man, he was determined to live by God's law in a distant land. In fact, in moments of crisis, Daniel would turn first to God in prayer before turning to the affairs of the state. Presented to us beautifully in chapter 2, verses 14 to 23. I pause again to remind you that many times we're faced with various challenges in life. And what Daniel did is what we need to do. When moments of crisis come our way, Daniel turned first to God in prayer before turning attention to anything else in life. And that's God's plan for you and for me. Number 10. His enemies even used his regularity at prayer to trap him and turn the king against him. But when you get into chapter 6, you're going to be able to see that the grace of God protected Daniel. It's always amazing to me, and I mentioned this to my companion today. When you take a look at chapter 1, you'll see so many things. And then when you take a look at chapter 2, it seems that it moves rapidly to a different perspective and a different time and a different event and different circumstances. And that's the reason why I believe it's good that someone has written a book on Daniel 1 and a book on Daniel 2 and a book on Daniel 3 and right on down the line. Number 11. So the book of Daniel is more of a treasure of prophetic literature. It's important for me to tell you that you need to hear this very attentively. The book of Daniel is more than a treasure of prophetic literature. It also paints a beautiful picture of a man of God who lived out his commitment in very troubled times. We find ourselves today in troubled times. And I believe that all of us are aware of the fact that it's very, very important for us to be always conscious and aware that we must turn our attention always to God, no matter how troublous the days may be. It paints a picture of a beautiful picture indeed, of a man who lived out his commitment in the midst of difficulty. We should never get so caught up in the meanings of horns and beast that we forget the human dimension of the book, the intriguing person whose name means, "My God is judge." Oftentimes people are so impressed and so amazed at all the unique things about the book of Daniel. But we must keep ourselves right and see what God is saying. Number 12, Daniel and Ezekiel had different responsibilities. You've been studying with us the book of Ezekiel, and all of us are aware of the fact that we see Ezekiel out there in the exile. God had a purpose and a plan for him. We see Daniel in a different place entirely. God had a different position and plan for him. Daniel and Ezekiel had different responsibilities. God revealed secrets to Daniel, as revealed in chapter 2, verse 19. While Ezekiel's work was to proclaim God's truth and to explain the real meaning of the miseries that had come to those individuals. Both of these men look far into the future. That's the reason why the book of Daniel is such an amazing book quoted in the book of Revelation. Are you always amazed at the book of Revelation? Be aware of the fact that that's the reason why we see Daniel used of God and presented to us in that magnificent book of Revelation. Number 13, Daniel belonged to a family of high rank. Having been taken captive to Babylon at the age of 16 during the first invasion of Nebuchadnezzar. Again, I stop and let you think with me. What were you like when you were 16 years of age? Daniel belonged to a family of high rank, having been taken captive to Babylon at the age of 16 during the first invasion of Nebuchadnezzar. Ezekiel was taken captive 8 years later during the second invasion. Number 15, Daniel lived to be over 90 years of age, during which time he saw the fall of the Babylonian kingdom and the establishment of the Medo-Persian Empire. Number 16, he lived his whole life from the time of his captivity in the great and glorious, glamorous city of Babylon. Approximately 69 years without blame and well-favored. And Ezekiel describes him as a model of righteousness. That was the reason why I came up with the title, A Model of Righteousness. So many beautiful things are presented to us in Ezekiel 14, 14 through 20, and in Ezekiel 28, verse 3. Although he was a captive, he rose to be prime minister of Babylon and always remained true to God. I want you to realize that as I study and think of you, I realize it's important for me to give an overview. And then it's important for me to come back and take a look with you. And let's take a look at various aspects we discover when you go to Daniel chapter 1, verse 4, which is our first verse for today. We see some characteristics of this great man. Daniel chapter 1, verse 4. It starts off with young people in whom was no defect, who were good looking. Now that's nice, isn't it? Showing intelligence, even in every branch of wisdom. Look at that verse 4. Endowed with understanding, discerning knowledge, who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. When you take a look at these young people, you will discover something that should characterize every young person. It says here, they had no defect. They were good looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding, discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. Daniel was skilled in God's wisdom. Number one, and had an understanding of God's revelation. And we've already mentioned the fact in verse 8, he had a determination to keep himself clean in his heart and clean in his body. What a challenge that is. Number two, Daniel was in the palace at Babylon at the same time that Ezekiel was toiling in a slave gang during the dreary exile and proclaiming God's truth and the real meaning of the miseries that had come upon them. Please notice what I've done for you. I try to be slow in presenting what you can see here. Daniel was in the palace at Babylon, and at the same time Ezekiel is out there in exile, toiling in a slave gang during the dreary exile years. But while he was there, he was proclaiming God's truth and the real meaning of the miseries that had come upon those individuals. Most of you are aware of the fact that there is Jeremiah in Jerusalem. We have Ezekiel at the exile. we find Daniel at Babylon. Most of you have this in mind, I trust. Number three, Daniel at the same time was sharing in the actual government of Babylon and also being the recipient of secrets revealed by our Heavenly Father. Most of you have looked at this book, I know, a number of times, and you're aware of the fact that God used this man in such an unusual way. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 19, Daniel at the same time was sharing in the actual government of Babylon and also being the recipient of secrets revealed by God Himself. Number four, understanding the book of Revelation is greatly enhanced by the study of the book of Daniel. Now, we've already mentioned that, but I want to reiterate. Understanding the book of Revelation is greatly enhanced by the study of the book of Daniel. Number five, Daniel, about the age of 16, was taken captive to Babylon. And we've already mentioned during the first invasion of Nebuchadnezzar. And Ezekiel was taken captive during the second invasion about 8 years later. I've been told that things need to be repeated. And I have been told that you have to hear it not just one time or two times or three times, but it's really best for you to hear it at least seven times. So if you haven't heard this but twice now, just realize that there's a great possibility that in coming days you may hear this five more times. Daniel, about the age of 16, was taken captive to Babylon during the first invasion by Nebuchadnezzar, and Ezekiel was taken captive during the second invasion about 8 years later. Number six, Daniel lived a long life. We've already mentioned the fact that he lived over 90 years of age, and from the time of the captivity, his whole life was spent in the glamorous city of Babylon in what we're going to call the Hollywood of his day. Maybe that'll help you understand what it was like in Babylon. Number seven, although Daniel was a captive, he rose to be the prime minister of Babylon. At the same time, he was true to God. I don't know where you are. I don't know whether you've read through these verses in recent days, but I want you to be able to see that here's a man who was perceptive to God and God's plan. And he was in the midst of unusual circumstances. And things are beginning to happen. And we discover that there are some dreams coming through and how God used him to interpret. Most of us are familiar with this. Although Daniel was captive, he rose to be the prime minister of Babylon. And at the same time, he continued to be true to his Heavenly Father. Number eight, the power of God was manifested remarkably in Daniel's life. It's revealed in chapter 10, verse 12, when God sent a special embassy or emissary of angels from the throne with thrilling words. You find that in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Number nine, God allowed Daniel to open the curtains and unveil, as no one had ever done before, the hidden things of the future. In the study of this book, we can see great prophecies as history written before it occurred. Please be aware of the fact that God used this man Daniel in a fantastic way. What I'm trying to do is just lightly let you see that in the study of this book, we can see great prophecies of history written before they occurred. Number 10. The power of God is revealed in this book, and also the Heavenly Father's universal sovereignty. That should not just hit you lightly and not sink in. The power of God is revealed in this book, and also the Father's universal sovereignty. God is in charge. God is sovereign. God knows what He's doing. Oftentimes we don't know. The power of God is revealed in this book, and also our Heavenly Father's universal sovereignty. We see God's power contrasted to the world's power. Now let me take you quickly chapter 1. When you go to chapter 1, it presents God's protection in caring for Daniel and caring for the companions of Daniel. You can read this on your own. You'll be able to see it. It's interesting. It's unique to see it. When you go to chapter 2, we find God's power in revealing the dream of Nebuchadnezzar to Daniel. And we discover that none of the wise men of Babylon could do this. All of that is in chapter 2. And I would encourage you to read chapter 2. When you go to chapter 3, God is the deliverer of delivering, is the deliverer in delivering Daniel's three companions from the fiery furnace. Most children have heard this story many, many times. It's always amazing to me when I think about it. When I read this information of the third chapter, God is the deliverer, delivering Daniel's three companions from the fiery furnace. Are you aware of the fact that that fire was hot? In fact, the individuals throwing them in burned. You remember that? You remember that when the appearance down in that dungeon, down in that valley where they were, the fiery furnace, there seemed to be not just three individuals, but four. My question is, who is that fourth one? Now, you can read that for yourself. Chapter 3, God is the deliverer in delivering Daniel's three companions from the fiery furnace. These young men stood up alone against the nation with the calm assurance that God would deliver. What a magnificent thought that is for us in our day. This occurred after they had been in Babylon about 20 years. Well, we've been around about 40 years, haven't we? There are some things we really ought to know after 40 years. Chapter 4. This chapter presents God's power in striking the proud king while he was boasting of his power and to show how he was driven from his kingdom to dwell among beasts, actually a victim of strange form of insanity. Read that fourth chapter. You'll find it quite interesting. Chapter 5. We see God's power is shown here in the awful judgment revealed to King Belshazzar by the hand of the writing on the wall. That night, he was slain by the Persian army and his city taken. I'm just reminding you, if you've ever studied the book of Daniel, if you made your way through these chapters, I'm just reminding you of some things you've already read about. Chapter 6. In this chapter, we see the power of God revealed in the deliverance of Daniel from the lion's den. When he was a young man, about 20, he was honored by the highest office in the whole empire. Now we see him at 90 years of age. He was thrown into the den of lions. And note, even the lions honored him. Number 11. God used the times of captivity to reveal his power among the nations of the world as we see him working with chosen people who were captives. He visits his children even in the exile and reveals again to them that he is mighty to save. I don't know whether you're getting the picture or not, but I want you to be able to see that no matter what the circumstances of life are for us, we must see that God is in charge. The most important thing is we must be desirous to be continually right with God. Number 12, unlike other prophets, Daniel deals more fully with the Gentile nations than his own Jewish nation. Please notice what I've just said. Unlike other prophets, Daniel deals more fully with the Gentile nations than with his own Jewish nation. He gives the history of Gentile powers from Babylon to the end, which is considered among the most remarkable in the whole scriptures. We have the historical narration in chapters 1 through 6. And then we discover that we have the prophetic revelation in the book of Daniel, beginning with chapter 7, going through chapter 12. If you will open your bulletin and take out the insert that looks just like this. In fact, this is it. I want you to see that I want you to have in hand in the rest of this session now and in the next session. Most of us have seen this diagram or one similar to it over the past years. You've seen it many times. You will see that we have emphasized in this particular one and highlighted for you the period of 7 years, which is the tribulation time. You will be aware of the fact that if we study the age of the Gentiles, we would highlight that section. If we're studying the age of Israel, we will highlight that section. If we're looking at the church age, the intercalated period, we would highlight that particular session. Now, what I want you to see is that there's an emphasis here upon the rapture. During the time of the rapture, for us who are taken, there's the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage of the Lamb. If you look at that line that says tribulation, you will see that there are 3.5 years and 3.5 years. You will notice that at the end of that church age and the rapture, you will see it says sealed 144,000 Jewish believers from 12 tribes. And then if you'll glance at the next black section there, it says flight into the mountains. And you'll see where that's located. If you look, you will notice that there is, at the end of that tribulation, the second advent. Most of us are now aware of the fact that there's a great difference between the rapture on the one hand and the second advent on the other hand. I don't think you have any trouble with that. What I'm trying to do is to let you get a brief glimpse of this timeline. And then I want you to see that just before the second advent, you'll notice that there's a battle. And this is the battle of Armageddon. In our second session today, we're going to deal with the battle of Armageddon. But if you look carefully, you will see that after the second advent, not included on this chart, you will see that there will be about 75 days of cleanup time before the millennium actually gets started. Then you have 1,000 years, the reign of Jesus Christ, and we all understand that Satan is going to be bound for a season. Then you'll notice that at the end of the kingdom, the scripture says that Satan will be released. And all of us understand that last Wednesday night we took a look at the Gog-Magog revolution. And then after that comes the great white throne judgment. And then, of course, an emphasis upon the eternal future. What I'm trying to do is to prepare you for what we're going to be doing in just a little while as we get into that study of the Battle of Armageddon. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we are aware of the fact today that you are the one who has blessed all of us so richly. And we thank you for your grace blessings. First of all, we want to bow to express our thanks for salvation, because we realize that salvation has come through Jesus Christ. The pre-existent Christ who became the existent Christ, who came to this earth for the specific purpose of going to the cross to die for the sins of mankind. This is the reason why we have so many verses of Scripture that reveal to us how magnificently God loved mankind and was willing to give His only Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. How wonderful, how magnificent, how thankful we are, Father, for the fact that that pre-existent Christ was willing to become God in the flesh, to go to the cross to die for us. And today, because of what He's done for us, we have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home, because the Bible reveals very vividly that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through the person of Jesus Christ. the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. We know it's by faith alone in Christ alone that we have salvation. And there may be those listening today who yet have never done that. They've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Oh, help them to see that there's no decision to be made in all the world more important than this decision. A decision to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Didn't say hope so or maybe so. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We thank you that whosoever means anyone. That when God loved, he loved everyone. When Christ died, he died for everyone. So if any person, no matter who he or she is, no matter where they are, if they'll see the fact that they need to be saved, help them to know that right now, by faith, they can believe, accept you as their personal Savior. And upon the authority of God's Word, they can know without doubt that they have the assurance that you keep your Word and you do not lie to us. And you'll save any person who accepts you and who believes. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.